Good morning and happy Sabbath all of you. I would like to greet you with one special verse from Book of Philippians 1:3, when Paul says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, we just mentioned this morning that the world last week was going through difficult times, not just last week, this year. It's happening for a while, but it's good to know that we have a place, that we have somebody then we can come and we can find a shelter and refuge. People are losing their lives, they're losing their assets, losing their investment, they're losing their daily living. This world can take a lot of us from us, but it's not capable to take something. They can't take Jesus and assurance and hope and the future, because future belongs to God and to the God's people as well. And we are so blessed by the knowledge that we know that Jesus is preparing something much better. Doesn't matter how good life we live, it's going to be very short. It's coming something much better, much beautiful. I have to control this computer here. It's something it's tried to switch off, but it's good to be. Oh, this one. It's okay. I'll just move the left to right. This way. Okay. Yes. Just before we go into our topic, just to mention that my wife and myself will be for a while away from Victoria, from Australia. We are going to go to Europe. God's willing, next Saturday evening we're supposed to catch a plane from Melbourne, and we'll be away. If you need any assistance from the pastor's side, you've got beautiful and very hard-working elders here. You can ask them for advice, and you can do whatever you like when pastor is away. Now, okay, just to let you know that we will be away, and don't try to leave message. You can leave message, but no answer until we come, God's willing. And we are going to visit my parents, and also we will trying to visit few beautiful places. When Apostle Paul was walking and preaching the gospel, like Turkey, we are going to visit some of those seven churches, not all of them, but some of them. And also we are planning to see Acropolis, Athens, and Paul was standing there and he preached beautiful sermon, which is written in Book of Acts chapter 17. Then we are going to visit old and new Corinth, driving to Berea towards Thessaloniki. You know, that's a beautiful part of the world. Then we will see our parents just cross the border there, and to have a reunion with my brother and sister. They will come and spend several days together. That's our plan, and keep us in your prayers, because you know that we are living in uncertain worlds and we need really God's protection every foot when we are going. And if you are going away as well somewhere during that time, may God bless you as well. Have a good time and may come fresh, and may we continue to worship our Lord Jesus together. This morning I was thinking to go to the scripture and see what the Bible says, how we can be spiritually revived. And we will see that the Bible, the prayer is very important tool in order to help us to spiritually to be revived. Why revival is important? What the word revival means in a worldly term? Revival. What to revive somebody means that somebody was in what condition? Yes, bring him to life. Something terrible happened. Once I was driving in a car, and there was I stuck in the so many cars there. And I looked on the right side in front of the fence. There was a man laying there. There was just ambulance. They were waiting ambulance, and people trying to massage his heart. He had certain heart attack. I don't know what's happened. I have to move on. There's many people around, and the ambulance is coming to try this person to revive, to bring him back to life. In a spiritual sense, what the revival means? Scary, but what means? To bring those who are spiritually dead or have some spiritual heart attack or any attack to a spiritual life, to bring him spiritually alive, back to normal spiritual activities. That's another term. What are normal spiritual activities?
And wake up.
Wake up, yes. In the selected messages, Spirit of Prophecy says, a revival of true godliness amongst us is the greatest and most urgent of all our needs. To seek this should be our last work. No, it says to be our first work. To seek that spiritual revival have to be on our list number one. Number one. You know, in order to be revived, you have to, or to allow somebody to revive you, you have to acknowledge that you need help. That something is going wrong with your spiritual life. And I find from the Bible that prayer plays a very important role in our spiritual revival. You know that Bible speaks in Revelation chapter 3, says you have a reputation of being alive, but you are what? Dead. And wake up, God says. Wake up. That was a message sent to the book to the church of Sardis, but also some of those important, urgent messages apply to us today. Because if you see, more and more Christians, unfortunately, are falling in that spiritual sleep, and God is calling us to be spiritually again full with life, because we have a mission to accomplish. Imagine one sleepy person, what he can achieve. You know, he doesn't know where he goes. He will hit the wall or door. He has to come. The old senses have to be fully, you know, awake in order to respond to the needs. And God has chosen His church with a special mission in this time. And then so many things to be accomplished. How He can accomplish things if the church is fall asleep? When I'm talking about church, I don't think about the carpet, about the pews, about the piano. Who represents the church? Who? People, you and me. You and me. What we can achieve with the message if we are spiritually totally unconscious. We need spiritually to be alive. For that reason, I find that the prayer play a very important role in order to revive our spirituality. All our senses to be aroused, to be fully focused and aware of our condition, and also to respond to God's call. Because it's emergency, it's urgent call for us and for the people around us. I would like to go to the Bible and read from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14. You know those very important words that God says to His people. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, and what else? And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. What beautiful promise here. God says, I will forgive their sin. Do we need forgiveness? Yes. Do we need healing of our land? Man, it's so many things happening in the land. You know, many parts of the world are poisoned. They need healing. You know, air is poisoned, and rivers are poisoned, oceans are poisoned. We got 2 to 3% of drinkable water in the world. What's happened with the rest? Not just salt, in many other things. God says, I will do all these things, but there is a certain condition. People have to be humble. We have to acknowledge that God is our awesome God. He is our creator God. And that if they pray and seek my face, people have to have a desire for the presence of God. If we don't have that desire for God, then if we think that we are sufficient, I got everything, I've got my job, I've got my car, I've got my shelter, I've got my everything, I don't need more than that. Sooner or later we will find ourselves to be very poor, because we are going to lose health, maybe we'll have accident, we'll lose the car, we will lose other things as well, sometimes the friends will leave us, and then we will see how empty we are. Only with God we have fulfillment, we have the fullness of our life. And one of the conditions here, God says, if people pray, I will be merciful and I will revive them, I'll wake them up, I will make them suitable for the mission, and also for they will find a joy in their Christian life. If my people pray, prayer is very important. In Habakkuk book, another old prophet in Old Testament says, he pray, oh Lord, revive your work. He experienced, he was a prophet in very difficult time. When he noticed, when he saw people around, they were spiritually asleep. And he said to Lord, please be merciful, revive your folk, revive your work. Do something, Lord, we need your assistance. We need you to be involved. Because doesn't matter how hard we try, we can't revive ourselves. We need somebody outside to come and to help us in our spiritual walk with the Lord Jesus. In Psalm 85:6, David in his prayers, he says, will you not revive us again? You know, David, or rather, he was an honest man. He fell and he finds himself dead, deep in the sin, and he asked God to be revived, because he noticed that he will be died totally spiritually if he stayed there. He wanted God to intervene, to help him. He prayed. You can see prayer is very important. The spark of revival are kindled on the altar of prayer. You can't talk about any spiritual movement, any spiritual revival, unless you include prayer in your life. You can talk, you can study, you can do great works, but prayer, it's like a flame. Prayer, it's a sparkling which it creates all other things around. Very important. Revival and prayer are indissoluble linked. Without persevering, prevailing prayer, there is no corresponding power. A revival need be expected only in answer to prayer, the spirit of prophecy says. Expected only in answer to prayer. Mary, a queen of Scots, she said, I fear the prayers of John Knox. Who was John Knox? Are you familiar? One of the reformers, yes. If you go to Switzerland, you will find his statue. Yeah, she said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the assembled armies of Europe. She experienced that if the person, it's a person of prayer, that means it's have a living connection with the Creator God, then don't stay in front of him, don't cross his way, because, you know, he's dealing with God. Like a lady or people in Jericho, you know, they were full with fear when the people of Israel were approaching Jericho. Why? Because they knew that those people have a living connection with the Lord, with the Almighty God. God can do all things. He can open Red Sea. He can dry out the sea. He can do, you know, you can't argue with him. You better listen and obey, otherwise you'll be desperate. And she said, Mary, you know, better don't deal with those people lightly, because they are connected with the living God. John Knox was a powerful man, you know, powerful man. Martin Luther, we don't want to say a little about him. He was a very big man in his time. He said, I have so much business to do today that I shall not be able to get through it with less than 3 hours prayer. He was so busy that he had to pray 3 hours. Wow, man. If you think you're busy and you can't pray, that's, you know, he was so busy that he couldn't finish the business unless he was 3 hours on prayer every day. He was a man of prayer. You can see prayer was a very important ingredients, using terminology of the cook, you know, ingredients in that spiritual revival. If we want Hamilton Church to be revived, to be on fire for Jesus, we have to be more on fire on our knees to pray, to have that living connection with the Lord Jesus. Samuel Chadwick, unknown source, he said, the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless word, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray. You know? Sorry, I maybe. Satan, if you do great work, but you are not prayerful, he is happy. Sooner or later you'll be tired. You'll be discouraged if somebody don't acknowledge your work. But he said, Satan trembles when people pray. Prayer is something very important. The New Testament church was a church of prayer. You know, we are amazed with the results of the apostolic church. Those 12 uneducated fishermen and later the followers of the church were simple people, but they have reached all corners of the world. They put the world on fire for Jesus. How they've done? Because they're people of prayer. In Luke 2, chapter 2, we will see some of the scripture there, 2:25 to 37. Do you have that? Simon and Anna, two aged saints, had engaged in prayer that they might see God's work again in their lifetime. You can read Luke chapter. Did somebody find? He can read. Yes, please.
And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. 37. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day.
You can see that she was serving God, fasting and prayers. They were prayerful people, and God gave them a privilege to hold the child, newborn Jesus, as a fulfillment of their prayers. God graciously answered the prayer when they laid eyes on that little baby who had been born to be the Savior. And Book of Acts, you know that as well, says he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. The first disciples, they believed as they sought God together and the Holy Spirit to come. They were on prayer together. They were praying and waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which came as a result of their prayer. They pray earnestly. Also in Book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And really the Holy Spirit came as a result of their obedience, faithfulness, and prayerful life. Very important. And 1:14 says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. You can see, prayer was very important. Lay down the foundation of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and for the future miracles, events. You know, that nothing happened just by accident, my dear brothers and sisters. Sometimes we want results, but we are not willing to lay foundation for those results. We wanted miracles, but we are not willing to take a time and to lay foundation for those miracles. Prayer is very important. It's very important. In response to these faith-filled prayers, the Holy Spirit was poured out powerfully on the day of Pentecost. As a result of them, 3,000 people were baptized and the gospel was preached without any fear. The believers were united in prayer and praise made a difference. Very important. And further, Book of Acts chapter 4:31, the Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Further, you can see they were receiving Holy Spirit. Further, not just on the day of the Pentecost. Every day people were baptized with the Holy Spirit. But how? When they had prayed. You know, Holy Spirit always was coming when there was a prayer around. Prayer, it's laying down foundation for the manifestation of the presence of God, of the Holy Spirit. It's very important. Because we can't do much unless we are full with the Holy Spirit or baptized with the Holy Spirit. We can't be bold enough to go and preach the gospel. We can't experience revival unless we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, unless we have a power of God in our hearts. But prayer laying foundation for that experience. We want that experience. We are reading beautiful mission stories around the world. So praise the Lord, it's good. But those people, they haven't experienced God's miracle just by the accident. There's some people, some missionaries, they lay foundation for that kind of work, a manifestation of the God Spirit. Very important. Acts chapter 4:33, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. But all these great witnesses and miracles came as a result of that very important prayer life. Prayer was important, very important. You know, and Book of Acts 6:4. I'm choosing some of the New Testament texts, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the world. You're not choosing. That's when the disciples have chosen six deacons, and they lay their hands on them, and the disciple says, you know, we will give ourselves in the prayer. And the deacons will be working in the church and all together. You know, the prayer was very important ministry. Very important ministry. Prayer and the early Advent movement. Not just in the early church, but the prayer was very important when the Seventh-day Adventist church was formed. Because of the prayer life of the Adventist pioneers, church has a right focus to choose which direction to go. Which was not easy that time. Ellen White, she says, in the ministry release, she says, at our important meetings, these men, early Adventist leaders, would meet together and search for truth as for hidden treasure. I met with them, and we studied and prayed earnestly, for we felt must I learn God's truth. Often we reminded together until late at night, and sometimes through the entire night, praying for light and studying the word. As we fasted and prayed, great power comes upon us. You know, that was not easy in the darkness to find the right light, because there were so many small lights around. Which one is the right? Like a map, so many directions. Which way it's leading you to the right house, to the right address? And she says, we have to stay, we have to kneel, we have to earnestly ask God in our prayers for direction, to enlighten us, to see the error from the truth as a result of the prayer life. There is no real revival, real spiritual movement without prayer, without throwing ourselves in the presence of God and pleading for His leading us and for His power. Ellen White constantly urged these early Adventists to seek God in prayer. She said further, the greatest victories gained for the cause of God are not the result of labored argument, ample facilities, wide influences, or abundance of means. They are gained in the audience chamber with God, when with great earnest, agonizing faith, men lay hold upon the mighty arm of power. The great things, those precious truths which we are enjoying today, they didn't come from those people who were superficial in their experience. No. They were in audience chamber with God. If you want something, sometimes we can discuss, we can argue about what is right, what is wrong, but this is, you can have all the facts, you can have all the knowledge, but it's not going to make big difference. All these things are gained in the audience chamber with God. For that reason Jesus says, go in your secret room and pray. That's all the battles are there, you know. Faith. Believing that the second coming of Christ was imminent, these early Adventists humbled their hearts, confessed their sins, and interceded for the families, friends, and communities. In March 1840, William Miller conducted a series of prophetic lectures in the Casco Christian Church in Portland, Maine. Hundreds crowded into the church. Some stayed from early morning until late at night. The Holy Spirit moved powerfully upon the congregation. In the book Life Sketches, Ellen White describes the impact of these meetings. She said, terrible conviction spread through the entire city. Prayer meetings were established, and there was a general awakening among the various denominations, for they all felt more or less the influence that proceeded from the teaching of the coming of Christ's life. They're praying as a result of that prayer life. You know, people were full with joy and they spread around. And if you go further in the book of Midnight Cry, she said, little prayer meetings have been set up in almost every part of the city. Not just in the church, you know, many small lights. Imagine in Hamilton, in every corner there is a group praying. That's, you know, have a desire. So we pray for this town, for this city, for these leaders, you know. And sooner or later you will see there's something happening. People will start responding to the spiritual. They will become spiritual, more aware of their needs. Further, I don't have a time to go into details, but just mentioning some of the Welsh revival. If you go church history, you will find that one of the greatest revival in history was the Welsh revival in 1904, 26-year-old Evan Roberts, similar, it's your cousin? No? Okay. Has been praying for 13 years that his life would be totally controlled by the Holy Spirit. He prayed to God for undivided heart, a heart totally committed to the Lord. Even often prayed late into the night, interceding for the teens and young adults in the church. He especially prayed regularly that God would visit Wales with revival power. The Welsh revival began at a youth meeting in Evans Roberts' own church. Evan urged his friends to seek the infilling God's Spirit in their own lives. The Holy Spirit touched hearts. 16 young people were converted. The spark of revival began in his humble village church, would ignite the flames of revival throughout the century. It is estimated that within 9 months, 100,000 people were converted in the tiny country of Wales. The crime rate dropped. Pubs reported losses. Many taverns and were transformed into the place of prayer. Political meetings and soccer matches were delayed or even postponed because the churches were packed with praying people. Often these prayer services lasted 6 to 8 hours at a time. Wow, man. It's not just 15 minutes and go home. The entire nation was changed because of a young man, Evan Roberts, and a group of his young friends took our Lord's example of passionate intercession seriously. You can see, one man can make terrible devil to feel, you know? He can, if you want to make the devil to feel terrible, they be on a prayer. Do God's work. Who does God's work? And there is no limit what God can do through you, through me, through one person. Nation change, but prayer. Christian has his Führer, a young German pastor from Leipzig. You know, one of the most dramatic moments in recent memory, it is the fall of the Berlin Wall. Few realize that mighty, concentrated prayer movement that led up to the breathtaking event in East Berlin on November the 9th, 1982. Christian Führer, a young German pastor in Leipzig, opened the doors to church each Monday evening for prayer and discussions on freedom. These prayer sessions grew up until one Monday night in October 89. 8,000 people crowded the church. Thousands more around outside the church. Then many other cities have joined the Leipzig prayer movement on that Monday night in October. Nearly 1 million people were praying for the freedom. 20 years later, Pastor Christian Führer declared, we realized that if we stop praying, there would be no hope for changing in Germany. prayer, it's a mighty tool. We haven't yet experienced what the prayer can do in our life, in the life in our society. Just we need more prayer warriors. At the sound of fervent prayer, Ellen White says, Satan's whole host, what's happening? Trembles at the sound of fervent prayer. The whole host scared of the devil's influence. Don't be scared. If there is one devil, that angel, there is a several, at least God's angels around, you know? Don't be scared. But the prayer can open the gate. You know what's happened when Paul and Silas were praying? The angel came. The door was open. Prayers. It's so beautiful examples. Pray in the great controversy. Prayer make a difference. Intercessory prayer is powerful. As the Berlin Wall fell, as God's people prayed, so the walls that keep us from intimate experience with Jesus fall as we plead with God. The walls of pride, prejudice, anger, bitterness, lust, complacency, lukewarmness, and materialism all give way to the moving of the Holy Spirit through prayer. Maybe some of us have walls have to be broken or demolished in our hearts. And we see, well, how we can do this, Lord? I'm too weak to do. God can do miracles. He can open some red seas in our personal experience. He can open a door. He can change people around us. He can transform our enemies in our friends. Do you believe that? God is a powerful God. Don't have a doubt of His power. Just give Him a chance. Just give Him a chance. In prayer, we humble our hearts before God, acknowledging our total dependence upon Him. Prayer opens our lives to God, to God's cleansing power. During prayer, the Holy Spirit x-rays our souls. We see hidden sins and defects in our character that keep us from being the powerful witness He longs us to be. Prayer draws us into the intimate relationship with Jesus. Doesn't bring God close to us. He's already here. Brings us closer to God. It's very important. Prayer changes us, doesn't change God. He loves us. There is nothing you can do to put Him away. He is here, but change you and me. We feel our dependence. We feel how much we have to be dependent on Him. Prayer in the great controversy. Prayer also enables God, in the context of the great controversy between God and evil, to work powerfully than we had not prayed. It is a part of God's plan to grant us, in answer to the prayer of faith, that which He would not bestow did we not thus ask. God wants to see that we need Him. He wants to hear your whisper, Lord, I need you. It is a part of God's plan to grant us, in answer to the prayer of faith, that which He would not bestow if we didn't ask. The prayer life of Jesus, we know that Jesus was a prayer man. Just to go, Luke 9:29, somebody want to read? Luke 9:29. Jesus was never too busy to pray. He never had so much to do that He rushed in and out of His Father's presence. Sometimes we excuse ourselves, we can't because we are too busy. Jesus radiated and strength that comes from moments in God's presence through prayer. Luke 9:29. Yes, Kathy?
And as He prayed, the fashion of His countenance was altered.
Yes.
And His raiment was white and glistening.
He was changed. Even the Holy Jesus was changed because when He prayed, He was in presence of God. When you pray, you have to acknowledge that you are coming in the presence, in the holy place of God. Prayer is not just talking to anybody. It's coming into intimate relationship with Jesus, with God. The next text, Luke 11:13. Somebody who is fast enough to read? Did somebody find? Okay, let's go.
If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?
That's right. There's no doubt if you and me, we are giving good gifts to our children when they ask for. God is more than just a father and mother. Would you like to experience a spiritual revival in your life? Do you desire a renewed spiritual experience? Are you tired of spiritual complacency? Do you long for a spiritual revival in your church? Our Lord has promised to answer the earnest longings of His children. He will respond as we seek Him. His promises are ours. If you see it sometimes that the church is moving slowly, if it's in a sleepy position, don't criticize the church. It's not answer to that situation. You can criticize. You're not going to make church better. You can just push her deeper in the problem. Pray. Go on your knees. Challenge God to respond. God is mighty God. He can make a difference. Go on your knees. Less criticism. More earnest longing. Pour your heart before Jesus. Say, Lord, I'm not going to give easily my church. I'm not going to give easily my friend or my relationship with this brother, this sister, these friends which I'm witnessing. Lord, it's not easy, but Lord, I'm fight for the soul. Like Jacob was fighting, you know, with the angel, the relationship with his brother. Sometimes we have to fight for child, for the relationships, for our spiritual revival as well. Time is flying. Four life-changing prayer principles, just closing to the end to mention just practical things. If you want your spiritual prayer life to be revived, most though I'm just putting four principles, maybe will help you somehow to experience that. Set aside a specific time each day to be alone with God. We pray together. Corporate prayer is an important part of worship service, but it's not good enough. You can't confess your sins here. You can do, but it's not created place for that. You have to go in specific alone time with God. Then you can pour your desires. You can say everything. Set aside a specific time. You know, it's good to have in our diary time for prayer every day. Because very easy we can become too busy for that time. Set aside specific time each day to be alone with God. Be alone is very important. Focus. Close your eyes. You're thinking. You're fully concentrated on your spiritual journey. Analyzing your life. It needs a time. It's very important. It will refresh your spiritual life. Your relationship with Jesus. And you will leave that place. And the change will start be seen. People will notice that as well. Acts model as a guide can help somehow. When you have that time with the Lord alone in your room, in your corner, in your garden, in the Bogotani garden, you can go at the beach or you can go whatever you want. If you're too noisy at home or you have a teenager children or small children or something, when they've put them in bed, you know, have your time with God alone. It's good to have a time with your husband, with your wife, that's good. But also you need time alone. Take a time, not a minute or two, take a time. And first in your prayer, have a time for adoration. For adoration. You know, we are very often jumping, give me this, give me that. Time for adoration. Lift up your eyes spiritually to the Lord, like psalms, or some psalms can help you in that, give you ideas how you can adore, recognize His beauty, His majesty, how awesome is God. Then confession, we have to come as we are. God knows everything, but He wants to hear that we are aware of our situation. Confession, and then thanksgiving time, and thanksgiving. No, thank you, Lord Jesus. That's it. Spend the time. One lady, she said, I'm speechless, I don't know how to express. I said to her, find a word. Try. Learn how to find words. We are very rich when we want to say something about others. We got very professional vocabulary, you know, never. But when we have to say thank you to the Lord Jesus, we are very short. One or two words and that's it. Find, develop, learn. Sometimes we have to learn how to say thank you to Lord Jesus. We are children of God. We have to learn. Thanksgiving is very important. Find a reason to say thank you to the Lord Jesus in your prayer, and supplication. Then you can say, Lord Jesus, I've got something to tell you. There is a certain burden in my heart, you know. Lord, I've got something which I don't know how to get rid of the things, you know. Oh, my relationship, it's not the way with my partner, with my children, with pastor, with the elder, or whatever. And I'm coming every Sabbath here. I feel uncomfortable. But Lord, I would like to be different, Lord. I don't know how to respond. Lord, create, give me idea, Lord. Speak to me, you know. God will respond. Maybe not straight away when you're driving or in the middle of the night or in the morning. God will respond. You know, that kind of prayer life will make a changes, will bring a totally new experience. And you would like to speak more and more with your friend Jesus Christ. Then read the Bible prayerfully, allowing the Holy Spirit to impress your mind. You know, when you read the Bible, don't read just to say, I read today three chapters. Okay, three chapters you can read. Choose maybe a smaller portion, but read and stop and think what you have read. Try to paraphrase that word. What God wants to say to you through this scripture. No, not what Jesus has said to John, to Mary, to others, but what the Bible says to me in this context today. And allow the Holy Spirit to impress your mind. Try to apply somehow of the written text. Okay, John 3:16, you know, you're reading. So, okay, the whole world God loves, but loves me as well. He still loves me. Oh, I felt horrible low. You know, I was disappointed, or I was so low or depressed. Is God still love me? Talk about that. Discuss about that on the basis of the scripture. Scripture will give you direction. Take the Bible, Ellen White says, and on your knees, plead with God to enlighten your mind. If we would study the Bible diligently and prayerfully every day, we should every day see some beautiful truth in a new, clear, and forcible light. You are amazed. Oh, so this, how many times I read that scripture? Never have seen from that perspective. Did it happen sometimes in your life? That's the way how God responds. It's not about amount, how much we read. What quality text, how much we gain from that scripture, how much we identify ourselves. And the Bible will become not old-fashioned book. It's book which can refresh. It's like updating book. It's very important. Learn to pray aloud. Why to pray aloud? Don't be scared that the Satan will hear what you're praying. Don't worry about it. Learn to pray aloud where only God can hear you, spiritual prophecy says. You know, when we say aloud, we are memorizing what we just said, you know. And have a deeper influence on our walk with the Lord Jesus as well. During our devotional times, praying aloud keeps the mind concentrated on God. Jesus prayed aloud as well. And spiritual prophecy says as well. And the fourth point I would like is organize a small prayer group of 3 to 5 people and covenant to meet together at least once a week to pray. You know, why having a couple more people in a prayer group is important? We pray, but we need each other to pray for a common cause, and also human presence somehow that is giving us more strength and the experience of the fellowship. Why not begin a prayer band in your home? Why not invite a few friends to join you in seeking God for a deeper spiritual experience? I know one young pastor, he went to the neighborhood and asked certain families, do you want me to pray for you? And you know, he was amazed how many people said yes. People are willing to give, you know, the needs of somebody to pray. But that prayer can change your Christian experience as well. It has been said, the world has yet to see what God can do with and for and true end in a man or woman who is fully and wholly concentrated to Him. Will you be that person? Can you say, Lord, I want to be that man, I want to be that woman? I just want to spend a couple more minutes at the end. I would like to ask, Paul, would you like to give to every person one piece of paper? I can finish now with the prayer, no problem, but just want you a couple things to do for yourself, okay? Grab this piece of paper. There is three questions here. Choose three specific things to praise Him, to praise God for. Spend a few moments simply adoring Him, okay? Number two, think of something specific in your life that is not in harmony with His will and confess that one thing to Him. I give you a paper, if you can put this on the paper. Paper is not going to be shared, you can take the paper at home, you know? And choose three things to thank Him for. Regarding some personal threat in your life, regarding your family, or regarding your church family. Give you a little bit of exercise, and then we can finish with a prayer. Is it clear? Has everybody understood what I'm asking for to do? Okay. Choose three specific things to praise Him for. Put on the paper, what did you find to praise God for something? At least three. You can, at home you can make a whole list if you like. But we don't have much time to. This is my personal application. Three things. If you remember the questions, you can continue at home. I believe that everybody will find at least three things to thank God for. So many things. We can have a 30, not three. But it's good to our mind to be challenged and to be able to recognize the beauty of God and the goodness of God, because sometimes we are losing sight of Him and we become too busy to recognize and to say thank you to Lord Jesus. We will finish with a prayer. I would like, shall we stand and finish with a prayer, please? Heavenly Father, our Creator God, we are so privileged of be able of knowing You, Lord. Thank You for has revealed Yourself in our life through Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for remind us how prayer is important in our Christian walk. Lord, forgive us if we neglect prayer or we haven't paid attention to the importance of the prayer in our life so far. Lord, and may the Holy Spirit always remind us that we need every day to be in closer relationship with You. And prayer is one of the important tools how can bring us in close to You, Lord. Please, Lord, we still have many things to learn in our life. And we are offering ourselves to You, Lord, and admitting that we need to learn and we need to grow. For this reason, be merciful to every one of us. And lead us with Your Holy Spirit, Lord, until we become that kind of mature and ready for Your kingdom. Lord, I'm praying for this church and for the community. May, Lord, the fire of heaven, the Holy Spirit, be present in our heart to revive us, to revive our spiritual life and our walk with You, Lord, and may that revival be spread in this town and many people to be drawn to You before You come to be ready for Your kingdom. That's our desire, Lord, and we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.